Upon This Rock, Part 7, by Mr. Don Duzma. My House, a Den of Robbers. Judah's history demonstrates beyond a shadow of doubt that she hankered after idols no less than her sister Israel. Their histories nevertheless differed, because the Lord graciously raised up in Judah a number of good kings, kings who brought reformation. Reformations, however, proved always to be short-lived. Think of good King Hezekiah. Hezekiah's wicked father Ahaz had cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and he made altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah he made high places to burn incense to other gods and provoked to anger the Lord God of his fathers. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 24 and 25. Hezekiah reversed all of that. He removed the high places, and brake the images, and cut down the groves, and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it. 2 Kings 18, verse 4. And then, incredibly, his son Manasseh brought it all back. After the abominations of the heathen, he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, In Jerusalem will I put my name. And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord, and he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. 2 Kings 21, verse 2 through 9. All this, in Judah, in his anger, God brought upon Judah the captains of the host of the king of Assyria. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 11. Manasseh himself was carried away captive from Jerusalem, and in captivity he humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. He was brought again to Jerusalem, and he tried to undo the evil he had done. He took away the strange gods and the idol out of the house of the Lord, and cast them out of the city. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 12 through 16. Evidently, his son Ammon brought them all back into the city, for we read that he sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 22. And then there was Ammon's son Josiah. He personally supervised the breaking down of the altars of Balaam. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 4. And, not content with simply casting the carved and molten images out of the city, he broke them in pieces and made dust of them, and strewed it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 4. Hardly could Josiah have made his own abhorrence of idolatry more clear. It is telling, however, that his efforts to root idolatry out of Judah occupied some 6 years of his reign. We are not told that the people tried actually to prevent the destruction of their idols, but evidently they did not, either, cooperate with the king by cleaning up their own cities. We can only conclude that the vast majority of the people did not really sympathize with the reforms of Josiah. They merely submitted to them. Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 3, verse 10. Small wonder, therefore, that the task of ridding the land of idols took so much time and effort on the part of the king. And it soon became clear that the work of Josiah was not sufficient to root idolatry out of the hearts of the people of Judah. Jehoahaz, the first son of Josiah to reign after him, reigned for just 3 months, during which time he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. 2 Kings 23, verse 31 and 32. Jehoahaz was replaced by Jehoiakim, 2 Kings 23, verse 33 through 37. Suffice it to say that Jehoiakim was the king who, when the prophecies of Jeremiah were read to him, took the leaves of the scroll, cut them into pieces with a penknife, and tossed them into the fire. Jeremiah 36, verse 21 through 24. Such was the hardness of heart in the king's court. They were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Jehoiakim reigned for 11 years. His 18-year-old son Jehoiakim, who was just like his father, reigned after him for 3 months and 10 days. 2 Kings 25, verse 8 and 9, and 2 Chronicles 36, verse 9. And then we come to Zedekiah, Jehoiakim's uncle, the third son of Josiah, to sit on David's throne. A mere 11.5 years after the reign of good King Josiah, and what do we find in Judah? Pray not thou for this people, the Lord said to Jeremiah the prophet, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Jeremiah 7, verse 6. Why not? There can be only one reason, because they are beyond hope. And what sin is it that particularly proves that the Jews are past remedy? Idolatry. Brazen, open idolatry. Seest thou not, the Lord asked his prophet, what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough, to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Jeremiah 7, verse 17 and 18. It's a family affair. Everybody is involved, young and old alike, male and female. All are participants in the worship of the queen of heaven and other gods. And it's right out in the open, as if to defy what they know to be my command, that they not serve the idol gods of the heathen, but me alone. Their hearts are set on idolatry. God's judgment of it all was declared to the people of Judah by the prophet Jeremiah. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house, the Lord said to the prophet, and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, that enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 7, verse 1 through 11. A den of robbers. That is what the temple of God had become to apostate Jewry. They had heard the threats of the prophet Jeremiah, but so they imagined they had nothing to fear. Why not? Because they had dutifully offered their sacrifices. By bare sacrifice and offering, as they thought, they had appeased the Lord for whatever anger he might otherwise have had toward them on account of the sins in which they were living. Thus did the temple become a sort of sanctuary or shelter or asylum for robbers and murderers and adulterers and idolaters. Make amends for their sins, so they thought. That is all they had to do in order to be delivered to do, that is, continue to do, all these abominations. Calvin is instructive in his commentary on these verses. Hypocrites do not in words express this, but when they make external ceremonies a sort of expiation and seek by such means to bury their sins, do they not make God their associate? Do they not make him a partaker, as it were, with them, when they would have him to cover their adulteries? The prophet now adds, ye come, that is, after ye have allowed yourselves to steal and to murder and to commit adultery, and to corrupt the whole worship of God, at last ye come and stand before me in this temple. God proceeds with the same subject. For it was not his purpose in this place to condemn the Jews as murderers, and thieves, and adulterers. But he proceeds farther, even to show their shameless effrontery in coming with an blushing front and entering the temple as though they were true worshippers of God. "What do you mean," he says, "by this? Ye bring murders and thefts and adulteries and abominable filth. Ye are contaminated with the most disgraceful things. By and by ye enter the temple and think that you are at liberty to do anything. Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight." Jeremiah 7, verse 11 through 15. One cannot study this sad chapter in the history of the Israel, the church of the old dispensation, without a sense of wonder. Wonder, that is, at the consummate folly of men. Having been miraculously delivered from the cruel bondage of Egypt, having been provided bread from heaven and water from the rock in a waste, howling wilderness, having been planted and preserved in the land of Canaan at the expense of heathen nations far stronger than they, Israel had every reason to trust in and to worship Jehovah God alone, and to find repulsive the idols of the heathen who were driven out before them. But they did not. What do we find in the Judah of Jeremiah's day? Like their fathers, but worse than their fathers. Jeremiah 7, verse 26. They worship the Queen of Heaven. They burn incense unto Baal. They walk after other gods whom they know not, that is, had no reason to trust. And then, most horrible of all to relate, they come and stand before God in his house. As if Jehovah were not a holy God, who was a searcher also of hearts, but could instead, like the idols of their vain imaginations, be pacified by mere rituals. Almost, we would think, incomprehensibly wicked. How could they possibly have such a hankering for the idols of the world that they could make cakes for the Queen of Heaven on Friday and then bring a sacrifice to the house of God on Saturday? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers? Next time, judicial blindness.